Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
My next guest was a successful businessman for decades, turning a family-run business into a multinational operating in 30 countries and employing over 3,000 people at its peak. You may not have heard of him or his company, but you will have heard of some of his products. His name is Gordon Black. He was the owner of Peter Black, and he's the author of From Bags to Blenders, and he joins me now. How are you, Gordon?
I'm in good shape, thanks.
Now, you've got a very interesting history. Born in 1943, that makes you, I think, 74 at the moment. But your business started by your father, Peter, who was an emigrant from Germany during the war years. Is that right?
That's right. My father escaped from Hitler and came to England in 1935 and started our business in 1947, turning old army material into shopping bags for Marks and Spencer.
Okay, so it was originally, a military supplies business, and that shopping bags, and that became almost a byproduct of it, was it?
Yeah, during the war, he worked for a small company in London, and they asked him to find somewhere to make army webbing, belts and so on.
Right.
And he found one floor of an old mill in Keighley, and that's where he started. And after the war, he found someone to back him to start the business by himself.
Wow, okay. Now, you say yourself that inflation between the two wars cost your parents a lot of their wealth. And again, even though I think they'd built up a substantial business, there were some tough times.
Yes, my parents came from affluent backgrounds in Germany. My father's family were academics. My mother's family were the biggest cigar manufacturers. And they came to England really without a penny and started again. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I wanted to express my pride in what they achieved and the start, my appreciation of the start they gave us in life. My father was scarred by the past. He lived in Germany where when you collected your wage with a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And he therefore always was more interested in things rather than paper. He started an old car collection, and he was more interested in that than buying shares or investing in the stock market.
Okay, right. And then you and your brother then took over the business. When was that? In the 60s, was it?
Yeah, my brother and I, my father sadly wasn't well, and he died 40 years ago, having been in ill health. And my brother and I came into the business. I read history in Cambridge. My father always said that was as close to footwear as he could find. And we got on very well. There are loads of family businesses in this part of the world, but my father was enlightened. He said the business should be called Thomas and Gordon Black and Father Limited.
Right.
And he let us get on with it. And I think our past, where my parents had lost everything, we were always too insecure to be complacent. And that was perhaps a good thing, because we consistently reinvented the business in line with the sort of global changes.
Okay. No, I get that completely. But really, I wanted to talk to you, Gordon, about things that you know that you've observed through this, I suppose, life cycle of business, and a couple of things that you highlight as well is about the balance of power between. And you worked for a big conglomerate such as Marks and Spencer's, but. Spencer, should I say, you're making the point that with somebody like Marx, that there's a two-way street, there's a loyalty that's two-way, that allows you the confidence to invest in the business because you're not in fear of constantly losing it. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely right. It takes loyalty is a two-way street. It takes two to tango. And this is the first time it's an era of personal freedom for me. I'm not directly involved in the business. I can speak without constraint. But to give you an example, not to mention any names, people like Philip Green.
Right.
But the sort of thing they do is you agree a contract and you agree the settlement terms, which they will pay 2.5% 10 days. They contact you and say, business is tough. We're going to change those terms. We're going to take 10% and pay in 60 days. Now, That, I think, is tantamount to stealing. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
But no supplier dare say anything, because if he does, he risks not getting the business next time round.
Yeah. You also say as well, do you not, that we can't be a nation of shopkeepers unless those shopkeepers have something decent to sell. And out of that, I take it that you say that there's more to value than cost. In other words, price is only one quartile of value. You also have to have quality, design and other aspects that, you know, this fixation on price and this race to the bottom, Gordon.
Yeah, I think it's very dangerous. It's very short term. And as you say, price is only one component of value. Quality, design and so on are equally important. There's a famous quote by Mr. Gucci, and he says that price is forgotten long after quality is remembered.
Yeah. Yeah?
And I think that's vital. It's all so short term now. And I think it's dangerous. The whole sort of conduct of business is the behavior on all fronts has declined, but it's bad business, because if you do build up this trust and this integrity, businesses will go from strength to strength and stand the test of time. What? And I've been asked to speak. I spoke at the Institute of Directors, business schools, literary conferences. And, you know, I'd love to come and speak to the Irish business community if someone invites me.
Well, I'll invite you. I'll arrange for you to come over here. So you leave that with me, Gordon, and,
right.
I'll arrange that, because I think you've a lot to say, and I think you talk a lot of common sense for a guy who's been around the block in business. So absolutely, that invitation, and we'll come back to that in a minute. I also want to bring you back to having fun in business, Gordon. You once told the story about wanting to get a key appointment with a director of Marks and Spencer, and you dressed up as a janitor and you blagged your way into his office saying, "May I empty your bin, sir?" That sounds great. But tell me about that incident.
Well, you know, I think there is so much fun in business. I think that there are so many anecdotes. That one, there was a particular director of M&S who was a very bright guy, but he was a bit volatile. And I must have upset him. I don't know why. And I made several appointments to go and see him, and he broke them and so on. So in the end, I went to Marks and Spencer's head office, which was then in Baker Street. It was an enormous building. And they had these janitors sort of patrolling the corridors with grey coats on and big bins. And they went round emptying all the waste paper baskets. So I gave one of them a fiver, borrowed his jacket, tapped on the door, and this particular director had a big meeting going on. I put my head down and I said, "I've come to empty the bin." And they all burst into laughter, and there was no problem. We walked forward after that.
That's great. And
there are some amazing incidents. One, can I just tell you one which is part of our family folklore?
Absolutely. Yeah? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Well, we had lots of subsidiary factories, and in those days, life was more formal, and my father was Mr. Black, I was Mr. Gordon, my brother Mr. Thomas. My brother went to a factory we had locally, and there was a new cleaner who didn't recognize him. She said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Mr. Thomas," and still no recognition. She said, "What do you want?" So he was quick on his feet. He thought he'd get some intelligence. He said, "I've come for a job. What's it like?" She said, "Well," she said, "the money's good. You have to work hard." She said, "The old man's a charmer, but I'm not too sure about his sons."
That's great.
So there is so many amusing things that happen over the years. And I think that if you build up this spirit of teamwork and fun, I think that's a definite plus.
Can I ask you another question, Gordon? You sold out to, I believe, to a Chinese conglomerate, and you talk about the Chinese, and one of the things is that they have a different concept of time to us. Can you just explain that?
I think it's the Asian century, and I think they will come through for many of the reasons we've got problems. They have a big work ethic. The family unit is very strong. They don't need a welfare state, and there isn't a mass of regulations there. And their recorded history goes back longer than ours. As you say, we sold out to a company called Lian Fung, and we started talking to them 8 years before we did the deal.
Yeah.
There's a famous story when Kissinger met Chairman Mao, and he said to Chairman Mao, "What do you think of the French Revolution?" And he said, well, it's too soon to say. I love their approach. And we sold, we decided not to be a family business. My brother's got lots of children, I have, and my sister feeding husbands and wives. The politics could have been disastrous. But I was determined that I made an elegant exit and the business should go to a company that shared our philosophy. And that really we did achieve.
Two other quick questions for you. The first is, and again, it's on the vein of the Chinese, the fact that we don't really make anything anymore, that everybody is importing something from all these other economies, such as China. Do we need to be, and I'm talking about Ireland and Great Britain, do we need to be people that make things in order to be at the forefront of business?
I don't think so. You can't fly in the face of change. The global economy is a reality. And we moved all our labor-intensive products, we had to be too competitive, to Asia.
Yeah.
But still, products which have a low labor content, where there's a lot of machinery involved, you can still make very effectively here, like toiletries and cosmetics. But I think one mustn't be a little Englander. One mustn't have a cocoon syndrome.
Yeah.
If we had stayed with our original products, we would have gone out of business. And I point out in the book that our approach to product development was based on going to centers of excellence. And you know the boat shoes in Marks and Spencer's?
Yeah.
We sold millions of those. Well, we designed it in Italy. We bought the leather in America. We bought the sole unit in Korea, and we had them made in Thailand, and the administration was done from Yorkshire, and the distribution was done from one of our warehouses across the country. What's not often understood is that, you know, importing also creates jobs in this country in terms of administration, design, and logistics. And I don't think you can fly in the face of that.
Yeah, okay. And finally, I wanted to ask you, Gordon, about your views on Brexit. You're somebody who's very close to business for a long number of years. I haven't asked you. I don't know your views, but I'd be interested to hear them.
No, well, it's a very divisive subject. Not all my family agree, so I've had to change my will.
Right.
No, that's not true. But no, I read history, and you read history because you hope you can see the future by studying patterns in the past. And I was definitely for Brexit. Wherever in history you've put different nationalities together with different cultures, it's always broken up acrimoniously. If you look at the USSR, Yugoslavia after Tito, I voted for the European Economic Community. I never voted for the European Union. And at the rate we're giving away regulations to Brussels, you know, Westminster could be a Holiday Inn in a few years' time. I think I appreciate all the uncertainty going on. But can I make one more point?
Of course you can.
Yeah. I mean, my view is that I don't want to be run by unelected second-rate people in Brussels. My view is that it's apples and pears. If it had been Northern Europe, it would have stood a chance. But in Southern Europe, Northern Europe, we go to work, pay our taxes and retire at 60, 65. In Southern Europe, we love them there, but they don't have the same work ethic. They dodge tax and they retire at 50. And the main reason you shouldn't have started me on this, one of the main reasons the European Union survives is the Germans, who are terrified that if it went back, if the euro disappeared, the Deutschmark came back, it would be so strong next to other currencies, it would completely undermine their economy.
Right.
So that's where I stand on that one.
Okay, well, I haven't time to debate it with you, but I am going to invite you over to Ireland. Gordon Black there, From Bags to Blenders. It's a great book, The Journey of a Yorkshire Businessman. Thanks so much for joining us, Gordon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Have a good day.
Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.